worn out, so I'm ready to preach. Amen. Seems like an eternity since I've been in the pulpit, but we're glad for Jesus. I was getting mad last night. I'm glad you weren't sitting in my living room. I would have you ask forgiveness for all those words that came out of my mouth towards those demonic newscasters, man. Amen. Fear mongers is what they are. And so we just declared that those roads were going to be clear this morning. And that we were going to be able to be free to be in the house of God. Amen. And so I thank God that they were this morning. Glad that you came out. You're here this morning. I'm sure that maybe some had, you know, different circumstances. But we're glad you're here today. Amen. Just before I get started here in Genesis, and I have a lot of things that are in my spirit, and we're going to let the kids are already gone. Good. And so a lot of things that are in my spirit this morning, especially concerning fruitfulness. And I believe today prophetically, so the word that I'm going to minister this morning is probably going to have a prophetic edge to it. If you're looking for a sermonette this morning, I don't know that I have a sermonette or a sermon in me this morning. I do have a word of the Lord. How many want to hear the word of the Lord? I think that if we're looking for something, sometimes I think we look at sermons like comfort food. Amen. You know, sometimes we look at church like comfort food. We want things to be so that it makes us feel safe and secure. But how many knows that we live in dangerous times? And I don't think I've ever been more concerned about the world, amen, and the condition of the world that I am right now in the 43 years that I've been walking out my life as a believer. But I have to tell you, I'm more encouraged in my spirit. I'm more encouraged in my spirit more than I've ever been concerning the condition of the church. Not the fact of where it is, but where it's going. And I believe that the church is coming into one of the greatest times of fruitfulness that it's ever seen. Even though that we may see a great apostasy, and now we see a great falling away in many of the established evangelicals and churches, that is just a sign of the end. Amen? And that end can mean many things. That end can mean the fact of the end of the way of man, the end of the way of religion, the end of the way of us doing it. Amen? Because I believe that for too long we have been trying to put the new wine in old wine bottles. Are you hearing me? I said we're trying to put new wine into old wineskins. And we're wondering why that the wineskins are breaking. We're wondering why that we are leaking all over the place. Are you hearing me? We're wondering why that we always are feeling depleted. We are wondering why that we feel empty and why that we feel at loss. And I want to say to you today is this, that some of that is the work of the Holy Spirit, because it is Him who is at work. He is our sovereign God. And there are times that God is stretching us, and sometimes God is reducing us. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, as Paul said, sometimes I'm exalted and at other times I am abased. Are you hearing me? But he said, I've learned in all things. Are you hearing me? He said, I've learned in all things to be independent. Amen. Your King James says, I've learned to be content in all things. That Greek word there, the phrase there, I've learned to be content in all things. That word there means I've learned to be independent from that circumstance. That no matter whether I'm abased or whether I'm exalted, whether I'm living on top, whether my checkbook is full or whether my checkbook is empty, whether my life feels excited or whether I'm walking through one of the hardest times in my life, I have learned that in whatever circumstance I find myself in, I've learned to be independent from it. That even though I'm tired, even though I'm weary, even though that I'm going through great pressure, I have learned, hear me now, I've learned that it doesn't matter what my circumstance is, because that doesn't affect who God is. Well, you're not listening to me. That's why I said that doesn't affect who God is. My flesh may be crying out for mercy, but my God is saying, hey, I'm more than enough than anything that you're facing in your life. Come on. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So you've got to be quiet or you're going to get me preaching. And I got stuff I've got to say today. So calm down. You're acting more and more like Pentecostal folk. So. All right. Well, I want to share with you a couple things. Number one, I want to share with you a great testimony. Is that you notice that Jennifer's not here today. The reason why is because this past week, as some of you saw on Facebook, she had surgery. And Jennifer has been going through quite a bit physically in the last several months. Started with pain in her abdomen and she began to bleed, and at times profusely. She couldn't even get up and walk around. It was abnormal in the fact of her monthly. And it didn't stop. The pain didn't stop. It increased. It got worse. The bleeding got worse. And so she went to the doctor and did an ultrasound. And the ultrasound showed that she had multiple cysts on both sides of her ovary. And she had a polyp in her uterus. Is that right, Matthew? And so we just took it before God. Are you hearing me? See, we how many knows we've already been through the fire? We've already been through the flood. We didn't come down here to die. We come down here to live and fulfill the will of God. So whatever was being thrown at us, we knew that God was more than enough, more than able to do that. But on every side, I mean, it seemed that, and I had said to the church, if some of you remember, I said, we need you to pray. We are going through one of the most difficult times in our life. We had not faced this kind of pressure. And of course, when these things come off, I mean, the enemy brings all kinds of tormenting issues and thoughts to your mind because of what we've been in the past. And so we just submitted to God, and Wednesday we had to cancel service, and then that snowstorm was coming in. And so her surgery was Thursday morning, first thing. And so we had to take off Wednesday, and Matt and Jennifer went out early to get a room, and we got a room up there in Winston. And I mean, it just seemed like hell itself. Every demon in hell had encompassed around me. And I know that Matt and Jennifer were facing some things in their life. And just as I was getting on 421, are you hearing me? See, I want you to know something, is that God is never late. Now, he may be late to my watch. He may be late to my clock. But see, God's never late because, see, God knows the beginning and God knows the end. See, God knows when to show up because he's God. Are you hearing me today? See, we may not know when that perfect time is, but in our mind, of course we are, because we're human beings and we cry out. We want it now. We want relief now. We want the answer now. We want the solution now. But God says no, because you see, I'm still doing some things on the inside of you. I'm making some preparation that you have no idea about yet. You can't see it, but you see, I'm the all-seeing God. I'm the all-knowing God. I can see where you can't see. I can see on the other side of the mountain. You can only see on this side of the mountain. Oh, somebody help me this morning. And so I just got on the exit. Just got off the exit on the 421 to head towards Winston, and my phone rang. Lo and behold, here it was, Joey Samora, the prophet of God. Oh, Lord. Amen. I wasn't crying out to man. I had been crying out to God. Nobody knew. And all of a sudden, he began to share with me testimonies of what was happening at their church out in Washington, and how that several people had been healed of terminal cancer. They were in stage four. Four or five of them who had been in stage four cancer, and the church had experienced and were experiencing miracles and signs and wonders, and how that they had went back to the doctor and there was no signs of it right then. And I said, well, brother, I said, I really need your church to pray tonight and to believe God with us for Jennifer. I said, we're trusting God, and we're trusting God now. And I mean, at that moment, man, he began to break forth into a prophetic word. He began to pray and said, look, brother, I'm believing God that tomorrow when she goes, there will be no sign of those cysts in her body, that they're going to disappear from her body as if they didn't even exist. Are you listening to me today? Then he began to break forth in a prophetic word, and he said, Pastor, I want you to know, I believe that you are coming in to the most fruitful time of your ministry in that church. I believe that as the buds are coming forth and as the blossoms are coming forth in the spring, he said, Cornerstone Wilkes is going to begin to blossom and come forth as never before in the history of that church. Are you hearing me? And at that moment, as the Holy Spirit filled that car, man, I felt the Holy Ghost come, relieve that burden off of me. And I heard the voice of God say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's all taken care of. The same thing, the same voice had said when we sat in that room and I looked at my son for Grayson. And I said, look, God's got this. God's got this all in control. He's the one who has this. It's not us. It's all up to Him. Well, the doctor came and she went into surgery, and I was just out, and it was about 12:30 or so, and was trying to reserve the room for that night. And just then I saw this little blue flash come from the surgical area, and I saw Matt get up, and I realized it was the doctor, and I rushed in and sat down, and the doctor looked at me and Matt, and he said, I don't know how to explain this. He said, I don't know how to explain this. He said, because I know on the ultrasound, it showed cysts on both sides of her ovaries. He said, I know what it showed. I was there. I looked. I saw. When I examined, there were cysts that was there. He said, but those cysts are not there anymore. He said, those cysts are gone. He said, those cysts are gone from her body. And so here, from one stage of not knowing it was there, and he kept looking because he was trying to find the cyst and couldn't find the cyst. And so he took his time because he thought, I've missed something. They're here. They've got to be here because scientists said those cysts are here. But how many knows the cysts were gone from her body? Are you here? I don't know what was there. I don't care what was there. All I know is that our God came through and did what I expected, what we expected Him to do, to come forth and to bring the miracle that only God could do. Are you hearing me? Our God reigns. Our God reigns today. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Whew. So again, I'm declaring to you that these are the things that are in my spirit is fruitfulness. What brings fruitfulness to our lives? What is the thing that brings fruitfulness? And the Lord has spoken a couple of things to me. And a couple of the things that God has spoken to me is about pressure. And how that pressure brings fruitfulness. Turn to somebody and tell them, pressure brings fruitfulness. And turn to somebody and say, darkness can bring fruitfulness. Oh my, some of you had to question that. Like, what you mean darkness, Pastor? Is this one of those weird doctrines you're going to bring? No. Darkness sometimes is necessary because sometimes it looks as if that everything has shut down. Everything has died. But how many knows in the darkest moment at the midnight hour is when, amen, life begins. Are you hearing me? It's at the darkest is when the light begins to shine forth. Pressure can bring fruitfulness. Turn to somebody and say, pressure can bring fruitfulness. Darkness can bring fruitfulness. The pressure I'm going through right now, listen, the pressure that you're going through right now, the things that you're going through, is not that it can destroy you. Because, see, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. God did not purchase you to discard you. God did not purchase you so that you would be destroyed in the end. God purchased you with His precious blood so that He could redeem you, so He could raise you up for His glory. Are you listening to me today? That's why God has... Look, God is not looking for you to be unfruitful. God is not looking for you to be unblessed. God is is looking to bless your life, prosper your life, to bring you to fruitfulness. I'm not talking about money. Money is secondary. I'm talking about your life being filled with joy. I'm talking about your life being filled with peace. I'm talking about your life being filled with the righteousness of God. I'm talking about being able to walk in Christ, know who you are in Christ, and stand in Christ, believe in Christ, live in Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so we're talking about fruitfulness. And so I'm working some of this word out, amen, as I always do. And so I just want you to hear the word that God has given me today. Are you hearing me? Even with the testimony given, it's enough. What more can we say? Amen? In Genesis chapter 1, look there with me today. Are you still with me? And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Turn to somebody right now and tell them, dominion, dominion is God's will for our life. We should have dominion. Come on, turn to somebody and say, we should have dominion in every area of our life. God has said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let him have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now look in verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. Come on, look at it again and see the word. God said unto them, be what? God said what? God said, be fruitful. How many knows this is God speaking their destiny? God speaking the potential. But what God is not saying here is, I just need you to understand. Notice here, God didn't say to them, now just in a short while, the serpent's going to come to you. Are you hearing me? See, here is the word, be fruitful. The next thing out of God's mouth is, be fruitful and multiply. See, the thing of it is that in us, as being the temple of the Holy Ghost, with the new wine that is within us, because when you put new wine in a new bottle, it has this process. And the process of new wine is it has to grow. For wine to be wine, it has to what? It has to increase. Are you hearing me? And if you put that wine, if you put that wine in an old bottle, the old bottle doesn't have the ability to grow. Oh, my. Come on. You're going to get this. You're going to get this. Are you hearing me? See, the issue is here is that when you try to put the Holy Ghost in a traditional way of doing things, you're going to kill and you're going to hinder the movement of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit cannot live within tradition. It can't live within my tradition or your tradition. You can't live in a place that says this is as far as you can go and this is as high as you can be. For the Holy Ghost to be in a place called the temple of God, he's got to have room to stretch. He's got to have room to grow. He's got to have room to move in your life. I'm just laying the foundation. Be patient. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I want you to declare this. The earth, do this. Come on. Come on. Do this. The earth. The earth. Not just replenish there, but multiply and grow here and bless this. Are you hearing me? Come on. Lay your hands on your chest and say, you know what? It's time my earth is replenished. I said, it's time my earth is replenished. And there's something living and breathing in me called the Holy Ghost. It is the life of God. And I declare that life on the inside of me. Somebody going to get a hold of this. that life on the inside of me, no matter what's here, and the color of my hair, and the age of my body, the life, the eternal life of God is living on the inside of me. I said the eternal life of God is living on the inside of me, and it's transforming, replenishing, multiplying, and causing me to be fruitful. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Woo! Amen. And so God again repeats to have dominion. But it's interesting here that in chapter 3, we see recorded that God gives them the prophetic word. See, God gives you a word and says, this is who you are. But turn to somebody and say, that word's going to be tried. And I want to share something with you. Amen. I want to share something with you. The word is not always tried. Are you hearing me? The word is not, they're not mad. They're just going someplace else. The word is not just tried by the devil. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them. The word's not always tried by the devil. Sometimes the word's tried by my flesh. Oh my. I said the word is not always tried by the devil. Are you hearing me? Thank you, Lewis. I appreciate you, brother. The word is not always tried by the devil, but it's tried sometimes by our flesh. See, your flesh, how many has ever tried? Amen. How many has ever done any packing? Raise your hand. Amen. Pastor Karen, raise your hand. She's an expert on it. Raise your hand, honey. Packing. Amen. Well, I tell you something better. Is when I make spaghetti. It's a dish I make for my family. It's about the only thing I can make, but it's one of the things I can make. And I'll make spaghetti, and then we'll eat, and it's like the eternal pot. Amen? And so there are times to where you look at what's in the pot. You don't want to leave it in the pot because the pot's too big to put in the refrigerator. Are you hearing me? And so you take what is there and you want to put it into another container. Are you hearing me? And so you're trying to take it out of that pot and put it into another container. And when you put it in that container, you look at it, you say, you know what I need to do is that's going to fit. But then as you put it in, it begins to grow. And then when you try to put the lid back on it, It's enough. You think it's going to be enough, but that lid will pop out. And I got to thinking, that's the way it is with the eternal Spirit of God. What we have to do is that here, this God of eternity, this sovereign God of the universe has come to dwell in this human being. And sometimes we try to put because we're so full of Him, we try to put a lid on Him and we can't contain it within our own traditions, in our own mindsets. So we want to understand God in that limited container of self. Amen? So when we're walking through a hard place, we think, well, I don't understand why this isn't working. I don't understand why my life is not better. Why am I not being fruitful? Why are these things not happening the way that I thought they're happening? Because I want you to understand. Because you may be trying to put new wine in an old bottle. You may be trying to put new wine in an old bottle. You may be trying to put the Spirit into tradition, into your limited thinking, into your ability. What God wants to do is God wants to expand your thinking. God wants to expand your imagination. God wants you to go to places you've never been before. He wants to take your mind to places that it's never expanded before. You have been in places that have kept you in a narrow place, in a small place. But God wants to bring you into a wide place, into a great place, into a place to where that you're not just going to plant a little garden for you and yours. It's nice to have a little garden. A little tomato, a little cucumber, a few potatoes. Are you hearing me? But if that's all you're interested in, is just feeding you, then you'll have a nice, quiet, calm life. Can I tell you why some of the things are going on in your life right now? They're gone on because God's trying to expand you. And God has to make you aware of your limited space, of the space of who you have been. You say, but Pastor, I'm trying as hard as I can. But what I'm saying to you, now turn with me if you will. And I'm getting ahead of myself, which is highly unusual for me. Turn with me to, I don't even know where it's at. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Amen. Some of you are not multitaskers. I'm trying to talk to you and you're trying to look up at the same time. Look at here in verse chapter 12 and verse 23. See, in fruitfulness, there's a couple of things that God has given me as far as examples. I want to read this and I want to read the other example that I have. Eventually, God's going to tie all this together. Let's read this and then we're going to go to Luke. Well, let's just go here. In verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now I want you to notice here that Jesus is about ready to, he is disrupting their whole world. Their world is about ready to fall apart. Up until this point, Jesus has filled their limited space, mind-wise, person-wise. Everything they've done has been because he's delegated that authority and that power to them. So everything they've done has been on a limited basis. Are you hearing me? It's been on a limited basis because this is the second time. The first time Jesus said to them, he says it is expedient for this temple will be cast down, but it'll be raised in the third day. And it's expedient that I go unto the Father that I can prepare a place for you. Are you listening to me? And the Holy Ghost is going to come. The Comforter will come. And he will be as I am, and he'll come alongside, and he's going to fill you, and he's going to lead you into all truth. So here we see that the disciples, up until this point, are living in a limited space. See, before the Holy Ghost, all you have is reading the Word as the Logos Word. Are you hearing me? You're reading it as the Logos Word. Everybody say the Logos Word, the living Word. But until the Holy Spirit, you don't have a rhema word. Because you're limited, see? You're limited in your ability, see, Greg? You're limited in your ability to understand because as the disciples, every time Jesus tried to give them some revelation, they'd go, huh? Every time he tried to speak to them and tell them of a revelation about himself or about the Father, amen. When they got on the ship and they had just seen a massive miracle, they get on the ship and the waves and the sea is tumultuous and the winds are blowing and it looks like they're going down and they run to Jesus who is asleep in the bow of the boat. And in the bow of the boat, he's asleep and they run to him and said, hey, don't you even care about us? See, they were in their limited thinking of where they were because they had not yet received the fullness of the Spirit of God. They could only see so far. Everybody say, so far. So far. Amen. See, the thing of it is that without without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's not because you're not saved. If you have and you have not received the baptism, it doesn't mean that you're not saved. You are saved. You have the life of God in you. But what the Holy Spirit has given unto us, it is there to be able to expand us. Are you hearing me? It is to bring us into a larger place. That's why a lot of Spirit-filled folks have received the baptism, but they've never done anything with it. They drank the new wine one time and said, that was pretty fine. And then never did anything. They took it and set it up on the shelf. Said, we'll just save this to a later day. We'll just keep this. Well, you can't do that with the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? Are you still following me today? So here they were limited. Their world was about ready to come crashing down. Jesus answered them, said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. I like what he says here. Because he doesn't say here that death and destruction, he is classifying his death as glorification. Everybody say, for the believer, death is not the end, it's the beginning. See, the problem is that as long as... Let me tell you what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat do what? Fall. That means here, this word means to fall from a high place to a low place. It means to fall prostrate. See, if you want to get high, man, how many's ever been high? No, I ain't talking about drugs. Just, I knew some of you were going to completely misunderstand what I was saying. I knew that right when it came out of my mouth. How many's ever been high? Amen. How many's ever been high? But look what he says here. The problem is that when you're high, you have to get low. You have to get low to get into the kingdom. That's why he said that it's easier for a rich man. Are you hearing me? It's easier for a rich man to get into heaven. The reason why is it's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. And the needle was the small door into the bigger door. And the reason why is because of all the luggage and all the stuff that the camel was carrying. He had to get low. Are you hearing me? And he had to remove all of his stuff to get inside the place of safety, inside the place of comfort. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? See, the problem is that we want to go into the kingdom, but we want to carry all of our stuff. We want God to expand us. We want God to grow us. We want to increase in the things of God. But the problem is we're not willing to get low. We're not willing to die. Your problems are not your death. They're only the process to make you aware of the things that you might be holding on to that is keeping you from the fullness that God wants for your life. Amen? This is good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. I appreciate that. Unto accept a corn of wheat, what? Fall into the ground. Does corn fall by itself? Does seed fall by itself? Of course it doesn't. Who are you in the hands of this morning? Who has you in his hands today? And I am worried. Some of you don't even know. Come on. We are in the hands of Almighty Sovereign God. Are we not? I said, are we not? Are we in the hands of Almighty God? Let me tell you something, folks. Quit giving credit to the devil. The devil's not the Lord of your life. God, I hope not. I said, God is the Lord of your life. And if God is the one who is saying, look, you keep giving all the glory to the enemy. You're giving all the praise to him. I'm saying to you is that God has allowed some of the pressure to come to your life. It is an interesting fact that when a seed goes into the ground, that there is a point in the germination process on the inside of that thing when it begins. Are you listening to me? When that thing begins to rot, that's what happens in germination. The outer part falls off. I said the outer man falls out. The outer shell begins to fall out. And the seed, which is on the inside of that membrane, is there. But it takes the pressure that is upon it, because what happens is the seed begins to swell. And the membrane, the outer membrane, is unable to contain the seed on the inside. What I contend today is this. What you contend is something bad. As you contend is something that you're in. That you contend that what I've been going through and all this pressure and all the trouble, the trials, the tribulations, I contend to you is this. What you're feeling is nothing but birth pains on the inside. The seed of God that God has planted on the inside of you. You being the seed. You being cast to the ground. You seemingly are covered up. But God is saying to you today that what's happening is that He's growing and increasing on the inside of you. And the seed is swelling. Are you hearing me? And it's causing pressure. Amen? How many knows what I'm talking about? When I was driving off of that exit onto 421, as we sat in that hospital room, and that doctor told us that my grandson only had a half a heart, I felt, hear me, pressure. Are you hearing me? See, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, some of us are not letting the process finish. What we do is we're digging up our seed. I said we're digging up our seed before the process is finished. We become impatient. We become in that moment where we begin to question. We begin to lose hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. What we begin to do is we begin to do desperate things because of our need. Because our need owns us. Because our need is controlling us. Because of the want that's on the inside of us. It controls us. So we begin to say, I've got to do something. Come on. Come on. I have got to do something. How many is that your favorite phrase? Raise your hand if you've got an honest bone in your body. I have got to do something. How many times do you say it? Raise your hand. How many do we have here? Amen. How many liars do we have? Raise your hand here this morning. God will forgive you too. We're all like that. I have got to do something. Because if I don't do something, then it just won't get done. Because nobody does it like me. So if I don't do something, if I don't put my little chubby hand in here and do something here, well, it won't get done. I mean, what would happen if I didn't do anything? Well, maybe the seed for the first time would have a chance to fully germinate, and the thing that God's been trying to do on the inside of you will finally come to fruition, and you'll have a harvest instead of an empty field with a lot of holes that you dug up and tuck your seed out because you were impatient to wait. That's right. You know, Pastor, I don't think that's really an encouraging word this morning. Well, see, there's your problem. You keep looking in the Old Testament instead of the New Testament. See, the problem is you keep looking at works. You keep looking at something you've got to do. The problem with some of us is this. Yeah, we're some of the most industrious, hardworking people in the world. We know how to work 10, 12 hours a day. We know how to work and not quit. We know how to keep chugging along. We know how to keep moving along. Yeah, that's us. Amen. No matter what, we get up and we do it no matter what. I don't care how I feel. Amen. I don't care. I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep moving forward. Well, sometimes what God is saying, hey, why don't you stand still? Said, why don't you stand still? Why don't you stand still and see the salvation of God for one time? Why don't you keep yourself in a moment, in a place of quietness, in His presence, and see what God can do for your life one time. Instead of you getting another credit card. Instead of you going and borrowing money. Why don't you stand still and let God work on your behalf? Whew, didn't get a whole lot of amens there. Lord have mercy. Amen. In one of the greatest pressure times in my life financially. Do you know what it's like? You guys, many of you know, on your left and on your right. Steve and my kids are givers. Do you hear me? They're not just tithers. They give. They give all the time. I've seen my kids, even in the desperate situations. I've seen my son, even though his own son was lame in the ICC unit. And here, they were struggling every day just to get money. Bills kept going on. How many knows your bills keep going on, even though your baby is in the ICU? Your job keeps going on, even though you're in the ICU. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Things keep chugging along without it. And I've seen him often how that he would take out of his own pockets to grieving parents that was there to give them money to bless their life. That's why that God is sustaining. Why? Because you don't give when you have a lot. You learn to give when you have little. Why? Because you learn to know that you've got to trust God above that circumstance in your life. I've seen that boy up there wherever he went. I've seen Matthew more than one time. Out of his own pocket when the boy took a step of faith. I'm glad he's not here. Took a step of faith and believed God for his own life. I've seen him take money. Did not have it. In fact, as a father, I seen both of them give money to people. And I'm like, why are you doing that? That's a dad talking. Because I knew their need. And God would come back and say, you're the one teaching them. They seen you do it. Now you're going to tell them they can't do it. Say, yeah, well, God, it's easier when it's not your kids. And God told me, he said, stand still and see the salvation of God. In fact, the other day when I was ready to move in my flesh, Mama looked at me. She said, honey, wait. She said, God's going to move. He's going to release monies to you. See, this is why we believe God is our need meter. And sure enough, an investment of property that I had, been believing for, came true. And guess what? I got in the mail, got a check in the mail for $25,000. See, the thing of it is, folks, is to tell you that God always meets that need. God always meets the need if we're willing to wait and we're willing to hold on. Amen. That's the result of tithing, of giving. That's the result of giving when you don't have it. That's because we aren't just seeding last year. We've been seeding for 40 years in every aspect. Even when we had nothing, we gave to God. If we couldn't give money, we gave our time. If we couldn't give our time, we gave our prayers. But whatever, we were not going to let the devil or anybody else stop us from being givers to God. Are you hearing me? And all the needs in my house and getting it painted and all the work that had to be done. Man, you look at all that stuff and it's pressing you. And God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Are you hearing me? Amen. Don't come to me after church wanting to borrow money. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and I said that to you to bless you. Are you hearing me? The result of my life, as I said when I came here, I didn't come here as a beggar. I didn't come here with a person who had great needs looking for you to fulfill those needs. Amen? But I want you to know something is this. I tell you these things to encourage you that the way to be blessed is the way that God has laid down. You say that tithing is Old Testament, but it's not. Tithing was before the law. It is a nature of God. It is that thing. When I tithe, it is me praising God. It's me thanking God that this has come by His hand. That He's the one who has blessed my life. That I would have nothing. See, the problem is, you can't complain about what you don't have. But before you had God, you had nothing. Are you hearing me? Before God, you had zero. Now that you have God, God has begun to add to your life and multiply to you. Before you had nothing. Now God has given you a source and ability to raise you from your circumstance into a place of fruitfulness in your life. I'm going to kill that spirit in some of you. Some of you that have that fear about giving, that fear to be able to give. Amen. God will take care of me. I believe that. And I believe that God will bless us and He will bless this church. And He will multiply to it. And every need will be met. Every bill will be paid. That's why I confess it every week, is because that's not just something to say. That's something I believe. Amen. See, I'm not just seeding for this side. I'm seeding for the vision for next door. All we've been doing is just cleaning up. Are you hearing me? All we've been doing is taking what God has given us by painting carpet, by remodeling. We're saying to God, thank you. We're going to take what you've given us and we're going to glorify it in how we're going to take care of it. Are you hearing me? The real vision is next door. This is just a place to celebrate. I said, this is the place to celebrate. Next door is the place of evangelism and extension into the community. Are you hearing me? Amen. Am I done? Let me finish this verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Everybody say die. Amen. Die. Die to self. Die to my ways. What was he talking about here? Well, what he's talking about here is this. In another place, he says to them concerning taking a new patch and putting it on an old garment, or taking new wine and putting it into an old wineskin. He's talking about trying to put the Spirit of God into tradition or the ways of myself or man. And every time you do that, when you put that new wine in that old bottle, you know what happens? That wine expands, but the bottle cannot expand. And the word says it burst. And the intent of the wine is for people to drink. See, God filled you and wants to fill you so you can give other people to drink. See, the purpose of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit is this. It is either you're going to have a lemonade stand. Are you hearing me? And it's cute. You know, you can serve a few people. Are you hearing me, Doug? You can serve a few people with that lemonade stand. And it's cute, 25 cents, or just free lemonade. Got your little table, got your little pitcher of lemonade, little Dixie cups. Cute little face, you know, 10, 20 people. That's great. That's a blessing. But is that what God's called you to? The Bible said that He wants to give you the fullness of the Spirit so that you would have rivers of living water. I'm not making fun of the lemon stand, but when I look at lemon stand and rivers, that's not the picture I get. So when I said that over here in this area, I saw either you can have a lemonade stand or you can have a pipeline from the main source coming out of your life. Do you want to give a few people to drink? Or would you like to give multitudes the ability to drink? Here's the key. The key by yourself, the lemonade stand, is individualism. That's nice. But the anointing is not just in the individual. The anointing is in the corporate. So when you take all those individual streams and they begin to flow into one place, here in this one place, when we begin to decide to be the corporate body of Christ and we begin to allow those streams to flow together, you cause a mighty raging river, multiple rivers coming together, creating a source of life. Are you hearing me? That's the question you have to ask yourself today. But to be able to do that, you have to say, you have to die, hear me now, to your lemonade stand. Yeah, but it's mine. I built the table, brother. I sweated blood, sweat, and tears over those Dixie cups. I squeezed and cut those lemons myself. I've put a lot of toil and trouble. And nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrows. Is that what your life's going to be? Is that what your testimony is going to be? Is a lemonade stand? Oh, Pastor, I think that glory can be found in a lemonade stand. Then I say to you, my brother, my sister, God bless your pea-picking lemonade heart. I say, go for it. I say, invest largely, get a professional sign, and be the best lemonade stand that you can be. But for me and mine, I want to refresh and minister to the multitudes. Why? Because I want to expand the kingdom of God, not make it small and narrow. See, it's nice to have us and our own. But there are multitudes who are in the valley of decision every day that you meet. And I say it's time that we come into the most fruitful place of our life. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a hand clap if you heard the word today. Let me qualify. It abideth alone if it's just a seed. Are you hearing me? But if it die, the qualification here, the seed, is that it must. I said it must what? Come on, let's rebuke the silence of the lambs this morning. Come on. The seed must. The seed must die, because if it doesn't die, it abideth alone. Amen? Oh, yeah. That's another ministry in the church that some people think they have. It's called the alone ministry. Because nobody understands my problems. Nobody really understands my hurt. Nobody really understands my pain. Can I tell you why they don't? Because you never died, because you let that pain and that hurt and that wound live in you all the time. Amen? And we wonder, well, why am I always alone? Because you haven't died yet. If you'll die, you can be a part of the harvest. But as long as you live unto yourself, as long as you glorify that wound, as long as you glorify your past, as you glorify those things that are behind you, and you forget not those things, you can't move on and live and be identified with Christ. Look what it says here. It abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth what? Forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternity. Are you hearing the word of the Lord today? If you've heard the word of the Lord, say amen. Amen? Amen. I hear God speaking to us on a level that it's time not to be alone. How many knows? And how many realizes today that the pressure that I'm experiencing is not necessarily from the devil? God has allowed this pressure in my life so that I can come forth and bring forth the harvest in my life. See, I believe the pressure in your life and the things that you're going through right now is not there to destroy your life, but to blossom your life. What you think is the end. That's why in Romans chapter 8, he talks about the sons, the manifestations of the Son of God. Those who are groaning and travailing. Why? Because what's happening on the inside of them is that there is a groaning and travailing. There is a pressure. There is no greater pressure at that point than when that baby is coming through the birth canal. There's no greater pressure that we will ever feel. In fact, the point of it is, if left in the birth canal too long, the baby will die. That's why we have churches that have died years ago. You can go in and you can see it. They're dead. They're doing the same thing, repeating the same thing. All they're doing is repeating the same mantra over and over again. But there's no life. There's been no birthing. And I declare to you that we are coming in and passing through the birth canal. Amen? And there is a birthing happening in our life right now in Jesus' name. Come on, stand with me. Thank you, Father. Come on, we're just going to wait on the Holy Spirit. He wants us to do next. Yes, Father.